Laid in the cell where the cold light glows. A quiet shell keeps the secret closed. One touch at the surface, the lock comes loose. A loaded little world looking for a root. Receptor hand on a viral frame. Kicks out the.
Welcome to Base by Base, the paper cast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Imagine you are tasked with designing a microscopic armored vehicle.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Its mission is to carry this highly dangerous payload through an incredibly hostile environment, right? It has to survive constant chemical attacks and break into a highly secure facility.
Right, so the armor has to be completely impenetrable.
Exactly. You can build the armor as thick as you want. But here is the ultimate fundamental engineering problem you face. Once this vehicle actually gets inside the facility, how does it pop its impenetrable armor open to release the payload without destroying the cargo in the process?
Yeah, I mean, that is a massive mechanical contradiction.
Yeah.
The structural integrity has to be tough enough to survive the journey outside, but fragile enough to experience a catastrophic, localized failure at exactly the right millisecond once inside.
And solving that exact contradiction is what enteroviruses do inside our cells every single day. I mean, these are the viruses that cause everything from mild respiratory bugs to severe meningitis.
Yeah, they are incredibly efficient at pulling this off.
So the mission of this deep dive is to explore the exact split-second mechanical process of how a virus cracks open to infect a host. It's a process that has basically remained a mystery until now.
It really has.
So thinking about this like a microscopic heist, how could this change our understanding of viral infections if we finally witness the exact moment the vault doors blow open?
Oh, it completely shifts the paradigm of antiviral design. Mm. I mean, if you can see the precise structural vulnerability of that vault door and the specific triggers that cause it to fail, you move away from just guessing.
Right, you're not just throwing things at the wall anymore.
Exactly, you start knowing exactly where to jam the mechanism, you know, so the doors never open in the first place.
Wow, okay. So where is this groundbreaking data actually coming from? Because getting a front row seat to an atomic level heist inside a living cell sounds like a total logistical nightmare.
Well, it requires an immense synthesis of technical skill, for sure. Today we celebrate the work of a collaborative team primarily from the Central European Institute of Technology at Masaryk University in the Czech Republic and Oslo University Hospital in Norway.
I always wonder how massive international collaborations like this actually function. Like, when you're trying to understand something as tiny as a single virus particle, why do you need teams across completely different countries?
Well, you literally cannot solve a puzzle this small without merging entirely different scientific disciplines. The Oslo team brings world-class immunology and virologic expertise to the table, right?
Okay, so they know the biology side.
Yeah, they intimately understand the host cells, the natural defense mechanisms, and the specific receptors the virus exploits to attach itself. Meanwhile, the team in the Czech Republic brings the advanced structural biology.
Ah, I see.
They're operating state-of-the-art cryo-electron microscopes that look at molecules at the atomic scale. So you need the biologists to cultivate the perfect infection and the physicists to actually capture it.
That makes total sense. So let's unpack the actual pathogen you and I are dealing with here today. We're focusing on enteroviruses. For those keeping track of the taxonomy, these are a genus of small RNA viruses, part of the Picornaviridae family.
Right, and they represent a massive global public health challenge.
Because they mutate so much, right?
Exactly. The genetic diversity and the incredibly high mutation rates make them very difficult to combat. They cause a really broad spectrum of human diseases. You have mild gastrointestinal infections on one end and severe neurological disorders on the other.
And for this specific deep dive, the team's focused on Ecrovirus 18, or E18, which causes meningitis and encephalitis in children.
Yeah, it's a very serious pathogen.
To understand how E18 pulls off this infection, you really need to visualize its architecture. Because it is astonishingly tiny, about 30 nanometers in diameter.
Just incredibly small.
Right. And inside, it holds a single-stranded RNA genome made of about 7,500 nucleotides. But the armor protecting that RNA, the capsid, that's really the star of the show.
The capsid is just a marvel of microscopic engineering. It's an icosahedral shell.
Yeah.
If you picture a 20-sided die from a tabletop role-playing game, you have the exact basic geometry.
Okay, I can visualize that.
This shell is constructed from 60 copies of major surface proteins, which virologists label VP1, VP2, and VP3. And then a fourth protein, VP4, is attached to the inside of this shell, right up against the RNA.
But the surface isn't just a perfectly smooth sphere, though. There are these deep, trench-like depressions encircling the axes of the icosahedron, which virologists call canyons.
Yeah, canyons is a great visual for them.
And hiding inside the VP1 protein is a tiny, hidden cavity holding a small molecule called a pocket factor. Let's talk about that pocket factor, because the paper identifies it as a palmitic acid molecule. Why would a virus use a fatty acid as a structural component?
Well, that basically comes down to the physics of water. Palmitic acid is a lipid, a hydrocarbon chain, which means it is highly hydrophobic. It strongly repels water.
Right, like oil and water.
Exactly. And the cavity inside the viral protein is also hydrophobic.
Mm-hmm.
So by burying itself deep inside that cavity, the palmitic acid acts as a dense, tightly packed core. It anchors the flexible protein loops around it through these hydrophobic interactions.
So it's basically wedged in there.
Yeah. As long as that fatty acid is sitting in a little cavity, the whole 20-sided shell is locked tight.
I see. So the canyons act like a highly specialized lock on the surface of the virus, just waiting for the right key on a cell's surface.
Yeah.
And the palmitic acid is the structural linchpin holding the whole vault together.
That's a perfect analogy.
Pull the linchpin and you leave this hollow void inside the protein, making the whole structure fundamentally unstable.
Right. That is the core mechanical vulnerability. The challenge for the researchers was figuring out how the virus knows it's time to pull that linchpin and what happens immediately after.
And to observe that, they utilized cryo-electron microscopy, or cryo-EM, and cryo-electron tomography. But how does that tech actually allow you to see a 30-nanometer pathogen? Because standard light microscopes simply cannot resolve something that small, right?
No, they can't. The light waves themselves are literally too big to bounce off the virus. Since light won't work, cryo-EM fires a beam of electrons at the sample instead. The wavelength of an electron is much shorter, allowing for atomic level resolution.
But wait, wouldn't firing high energy electrons at biological tissue just completely obliterate it?
Oh, absolutely. It would cook it. To prevent this, the researchers used liquid ethane to flash freeze the sample. The freezing happens so incredibly fast, we're talking a fraction of a millisecond, that the water molecules inside the cell don't even have time to arrange themselves into ice crystals.
Because ice crystals would act like microscopic knives and shred the virus, right?
Precisely. Instead, the water forms what we call vitreous ice. It behaves like glass, locking every single molecule in the cell perfectly in place in its natural hydrated state.
Wow. And for this particular study, they infected CO7 cells, which are African green monkey kidney fibroblast-like cells, with the E18 virus. Then, exactly 30 minutes post-infection, they flash froze the cells to capture the virus in the act of entry.
Which brings us to the massive innovation of this paper. Historically, virtually all our high-resolution structural knowledge of how these viruses uncoat came from in vitro studies.
Meaning just in a test tube.
Right. Scientists would purify the virus, put it in a sterile test tube, and artificially lower the acidity to mimic a cell just to see what happened.
So they aren't just watching a video here. They are flash freezing a crime scene 30 minutes after the break-in to see exactly where the burglars are and what tools they dropped.
Exactly. This study looks at the virus in vivo inside actual infected cells. By doing that, they map the 3D structures at an incredible 4.3 angstrom resolution. We are talking about seeing the individual amino acids of the virus's armor while it is navigating a real cellular landscape.
Okay, so let's walk through the actual entry process they found, starting with step one, the binding. The virus bumps into the cell. And the paper reveals that the key fitting into the canyon is a protein on the cell surface called the neonatal FC receptor, or FcRn.
Yeah, FcRn normally has a vital day job in your body. It transports certain antibodies and albumin across cellular barriers. But E18 has evolved to hijack this receptor, using it as a docking station.
And this is where it gets crazy to me, because this receptor binding actually induces the virus to squeeze out its pocket factor, that palmitic acid molecule.
It physically squeezes it out, yes.
It's literally like pulling the pin on a grenade.
Yeah.
It primes the virus for uncoating, even though the overall outer shell hasn't changed shape yet.
The grenade analogy works beautifully here, because even with the pin pulled and the pocket factor expelled, the grenade hasn't exploded yet. The overall shell is still an intact sphere, but internally, it is now structurally primed and highly unstable.
Okay, step two. Into the bubble. With the pin dropped, the cell swallows the virus inside a membrane-bound vesicle, right, an endosome.
Right, receptor-mediated endocytosis. The endosome acts as a sorting and recycling center for the cell, and its defining characteristic is that it's highly acidic.
And as the pH drops inside this little bubble, the virus actually detaches from the receptor, because the structural mapping inside the cell shows the virus without the pocket factor, but it's no longer bound to the receptor. Why let go?
It's driven by the shifting chemistry of that acidic environment. The interface where the virus and the receptor touch relies heavily on a specific amino acid on the virus's surface called histidine 196.
Okay.
When the environment becomes acidic, there are tons of free-floating protons. That histidine residue grabs one of those protons, changing its state from electrically neutral to positively charged.
Oh, and positive charges repel each other.
Exactly. The electrostatic repulsion literally pushes the virus and the receptor apart. So now, the virus is just floating in an acidic bath, completely missing its pocket factor, ready to detonate.
Which naturally leads to step three, looking for the detonation itself. But the researchers noted a highly impactful finding here. They didn't find any activated, halfway open intermediate particles in the infected cells.
None at all. They sifted through thousands of 3D images using a highly advanced AI tool to reverse engineer the volumes from all those noisy snapshots, and they found absolutely no evidence of a stable, halfway open intermediate state.
So if we know the virus doesn't pause halfway, and we know it's sitting in this acidic bubble, the actual genome release in vivo must be incredibly rapid, right?
The lack of intermediates strongly implies the release is violently rapid. Once the trigger condition is met, the transition happens so fast that even flash freezing the cells at the 30-minute mark couldn't catch a particle in the exact middle of releasing its RNA.
Wow. Which brings us to step four, the breach, the massive finale. The researchers found empty viral capsids in the cytoplasm and endosomes, and they were missing one, two, or even three entire pentamers.
Right, and going back to our 20-sided die geometry, a pentamer is a structural block of five capsid proteins.
But wait, just to clarify the scale here, if the virus is a 30-nanometer sphere, losing three whole pentamers must be like a spaceship blowing off its entire roof to let the astronauts out, right? The shell literally pops a massive hole in itself to let the RNA spill out.
That is exactly what happens. It goes back to that acidic environment. Multiple amino acids absorb protons, gain positive charges, and experience massive electrostatic repulsion. It acts exactly like explosive bolts on a spaceship roof, violently repelling the pentamers away from the main structure.
That is wild, but this completely changes what we thought we knew. Because didn't previous test tube studies suggest the virus just opens a tiny pore and stays intact?
They did. The in vitro test tubes created a thermodynamic mirage. In a test tube, you have a concentrated soup of just virus particles. When a virus loses its pentamers there, the pieces have nowhere to go.
Oh, so they just snap right back into place.
Exactly. The fundamental laws of thermodynamics sometimes allowed those pieces to reattach to the empty shell once the RNA was gone. But this in vivo deep dive proves that in a real cellular environment, the capsids lose their pentamers and stay open.
Because the messy, cluttered cellular environment prevents the pieces from ever reattaching.
Precisely.
Okay, but this leaves a glaring geographical problem. If the virus pops open inside the endosome, that little acidic bubble, how do the particles actually reach the cytoplasm to hijack the cell?
Well, they don't just inject the RNA through the endosome wall. The expansion of the viral shell physically stresses the endosomal membrane. Combined with the sudden release of internal viral proteins, this stress violently tears the membrane apart.
It just ruptures.
Yeah, the membrane of the endosome actually ruptures, dumping both the shattered open viral shells and the released RNA directly into the cytoplasm.
That is brutal. But let me push back for a second.
Yeah.
If we didn't catch the virus in the exact middle of opening, how do we know it didn't just happen via a different mechanism, like a biological timer instead of the acid?
That's a fair question, and the researchers proved the acid trigger using a chemical called bafomycin A1.
What does that do?
It blocks endosome acidification. It's a proton pump inhibitor. When researchers treated the cells with it, the endosomes never became acidic.
And what happened to the virus?
The genome-containing particles just piled up. The vault doors never opened. This proves definitively that the acidic trigger is real, and the transition from intact to open is just a fleeting, short-lived intermediate state.
So bringing it all together, what is the core takeaway here?
By using advanced cryo-electron tomography to look inside actual infected cells, researchers have proven that Echovirus 18 releases its infectious RNA by physically popping open and shedding chunks of its protein armor. This establishes catastrophic capsid opening as the true physiological uncoating mechanism for these dangerous pathogens.
Incredible. Which brings us to our final thought. What does this mean for the future of antiviral drugs? Could we design a medicine that permanently superglues that pocket factor pin in place so the virus can never open its armor at all? It's a fascinating possibility to think about.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, bass by bass.
Late in the cell where the cold light glows, a quiet shell keeps the secret closed. One touch at the surface, the lock comes loose. A loaded little world looking for a root. Receptor hand on a viral frame, kicks out the oil from a hidden lane. No time for statues, no frozen pose. Just one sharp signal and the pressure grows. Geometry, a missing moon. If you can stop.